This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. The oldest credit reporting company in the United States, Equifax, announced this month that a massive data breach by hacking has compromised the personal information of about 143 million people, mostly in the US, but also in the UK and Canada. The multi-billion dollar company says it found out about the breach in late July and yet took weeks to inform the public. When those people who were impacted contacted Equifax asking to freeze their credit files, the company charged them. After public outrage, Equifax decided to drop the fees for the next month. It is also offering a year's worth of free credit reporting. Additionally, it was revealed that three of the company's top executives sold nearly $2 million of their stocks in the days before the public was informed of the problems. They claimed they had no knowledge of their own company's data breach. Equifax's stock has predictably plummeted this month. The company has been sued several times over the years and has fought to make it harder for the public to file lawsuits against it. My guest is Jamie Court, president of Consumer Watchdog, author of The Progressive's Guide to Raising Hell, How to Win Grassroots Campaigns, Pass Ballot Box Laws, and Get the Change You Voted For. Welcome to the program, Jamie.
Thanks for having me back. Pleasure.
So how does this data breach compare to previous data breaches in these days of digital storage where everything is sort of available online? It seems as though no matter how tight your cybersecurity, hackers can find a way to get it. 143 million people sounds like, you know, less than half of the entire country.
Well, it's almost every adult in America.
Wow.
So this is gargantuan. I mean, this is, and we don't know, you know, exactly what was taken, but we do know when 143 million people, when they're adults, because these are, you know, credit, there's a credit bureau, are having their personal information compromised. It's, you know, it's got to be the largest breach in American history, if not, you know, and just in terms of how many people it touched, maybe not the depth of the information that was taken. The Target breach was huge too, but not everybody shops at Target. And the real problem with Equifax is here's the company that was supposed to be protecting all of our information. So the depth of the information that this company has about us is bigger and broader than any other company in America. And we didn't ask that they take that information and get that information. We didn't say, hey, Equifax, you know, be the arbiter for all our credit and private information. They just decided to warehouse it because they're a stock company that makes a lot of money doing it. So this is really, I think, one of the scariest breaches in American history, just because the depth and size of the information is huge. It's hit almost every adult American, and we don't know exactly, you know, how much was taken. In addition, you know, Equifax's response suggests that, you know, it's a breach that actually could ruin the company. Their stock value has fallen 25% since it was made known. But when the executives from the company sell their stock, $1.8 million worth of stock, when they found out and didn't tell anyone else in July, even though they deny that they knew, that tells you that they realize this is profound and serious. And the way that the company has responded, you know, they initially said if you want to have your credit monitored, then you can waive into our program, but you have to give up your right to trial and you have to sign an arbitration agreement as a condition of us watching what we created, which is whether there's a data breach for you. So they're worried here. And they're very worried about, you know, legal action against the company. I think they're very worried about whether this company is just going to go under. They're there to protect our information and protect our credit. And yet they're the source of a breach, and we need more information.
Jamie, let's talk about what it is that Equifax does, because even though Equifax has so much information on so many Americans have probably never heard of the company. What, you know, let's talk about what it is that a credit reporting company does. I sort of think about how today on the internet. Every sort of keystroke that we use is valuable data. There are companies that sweep up data about all our habits and then sell it. And in a way, Equifax was one of the earliest companies to realize that personal data is valuable, that they can gather up data about people and use it and sell it. And this was a company formed in the 1800s. So it's been around a really, really long time. What exactly does a credit reporting company, and Equifax is one of only three large companies, what did they do? And do they even get permission to get your information? Do they get your permission to get your information?
No, I mean, you know, the Equifax, Transamerica, Experian are the three major credit bureaus. And what they do is when you want a car loan or any type mortgage loan or any type of credit, credit card, traditionally, anyone who's going to extend credit to you would check with one or all of the bureaus. And they've also come up with over the years credit scores that take an aggregate of all this information they have about how often you pay your bills and whether you pay them on time and whether you ever defaulted on a loan and public and private information and put it in one place to come up with a composite of what kind of risk you are. I mean, that's their traditional business. And you don't give permission for them to store this information. The companies you do business with share it with the companies, share it with Equifax as well as the other two credit agencies in order to analyze risks and rewards of lending and to set rates for loans. And
so you may never know that you are being monitored till you might say want to get a car loan or buy your first home and all of a sudden you are told this is your credit score, except you didn't realize that your entire financial history up until that point was going to assign you a number by which you would be judged whether or not you could get a loan or any other type of, you know, even just getting a credit card for that matter.
Right. And often each of these bureaus have their own scores and their other scores. And then people who are going to give you a mortgage loan look at all the different scores and they actually have thresholds. And if you don't get over a certain score, you won't get a certain rate. And if you don't get, over a certain score, you might not even get a loan. And the reality is some of that information often is wrong. These companies don't do a great job of checking to make sure it's you and not some other, Jamie Court or someone who, or there's some doctor who mistakenly tried to collect a bill against you and you're in default on something you never really owed. They don't do a great job. And what happens is you apply for a loan, often it's a mortgage loan or a car loan, you find your score is in the toilet and you call because your mortgage broker says, I thought you said you had good credit, and you find there's an errant report. And to get that off your record sometimes takes longer than the lock on your loan and you lose a great rate. You have to really fight with the bureau, and you have to fight with the people who erroneously reported it to you, and you're an innocent bystander of all this. So we have very much been, riding, in waves that we don't control, and the credit bureaus are really there to protect the credit card companies, the mortgage companies, not us. And I think this latest breach is the classic example of that. This is supposed to be the safest place for our information.
That we didn't give permission, that we didn't even give permission for this company to collect. So they found out about the breach in late July. It took them till early September to tell the public, and then they had the audacity to charge for things like freezing the credit files. I mean, shouldn't this company have immediately taken it upon themselves to voluntarily freeze everyone's credit, offer free monitoring? Like, you shouldn't have to be the one to approach the company to find out if you were impacted and then take steps to protect yourself. Shouldn't they have voluntarily protected people on their own since it was their fault to begin with?
I think they clearly should extend free credit monitoring to anyone who's subject to this breach. In fact, California law, and I think some other states as well, requires that. It requires that you have to be notified within a very short time frame. And it requires that they have to pay for credit monitoring and notify you and get you into the credit monitoring. Not all states have that law. There's a big loophole, though, which is that a credit agency or someone who's a subject of a credit breach can say, if it's going to compromise a law enforcement investigation, I can wait and delay when I tell the public about it. We think that Equifax actually may be in violation of California law by waiting so long here, because unless the law enforcement agency said, no, don't tell the public, they had an obligation to tell the public very quickly in the state of California, and they had an obligation to start that credit monitoring soon. Freezing credit's a little bit more serious matter, because if you freeze credit, it can compromise some current transactions. So that really is a choice that you should make, but you should be able to do that without a fee.
Right.
The real, I mean, I think the real outrageous abuse here is, in order to get the credit monitoring, you have to give up your right to litigate against the company, and they put you automatically into mandatory arbitration, to these secret arbitration agreements. And so they're giving you, you know, credit monitoring because they caused a mistake, but you're giving up your Seventh Amendment right to trial against the company. When that was roundly criticized by some state attorney generals and by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, Equifax said, fine, if you write us a letter after you sign up, we'll let you out of the arbitration agreement. But people have to remember to do that. So at every turn, this is just classic, classic corporate behavior. You know, you get caught doing something outrageous and compromising the individual's security and privacy and financial resources. And instead of doing the right thing and, you know, doing everything you can to say you're sorry and fix it, what do you do? You wait and you don't tell them. You create outrageous terms for them to be protected going forward, and you take advantage, if you're an executive, of that information and do insider trading.
Yeah, let's actually talk.
I can see why the stock's dropped by a quarter. Could drop by 50%, because this company has really violated its trust with everybody in the financial sector and with all the people whose information it held.
And I want to talk about that potential insider trading in just a minute. But on the issue of legal action, the company is facing apparently almost two dozen proposed class action lawsuits so far, which is pretty amazing. Now, on the issue of potential insider trading, there was a Senate Finance Committee hearing on Monday where Senators Orrin Hatch and Ron Wyden questioned the CEO, Richard Smith, about the fact that three of the company's top executives, including the CFO, John Gamble, unloaded nearly $2 million of their own stock. This was not stock that was automatically set ahead of time to be sold, as sometimes you have scheduled sellings. This was something that they actually took the action to do. And Richard Smith claimed to the Senate Finance Committee that his own company's executives had no knowledge of the data breach when they sold their stock. Are we supposed to believe them? I'm guessing that the company's executives are going to be subpoenaed, have their correspondence subpoenaed.
I sure hope so. I mean, we haven't seen the Securities Exchange Commission take any action, but they should. There should be subpoenas. And it's really interesting that, you know, President Trump seems to tweet about every outrage. And while I admittedly am not part of his Twitter following, I haven't seen anything reported about him saying a word about this. I mean, this is exactly what gets the American people so frustrated with corporate greed. And the fact the CEO of the company would, you know, try to profit from this while not telling the public that they're at risk. I mean, this guy should go to jail. But we don't see any action from the federal government other than, I mean, I think the Senate is asking the right questions. And I have a lot of faith in Ron Wyden and even actually in Orrin Hatch getting to the bottom of this. But unfortunately, the Securities Exchange Commission, you know, is a paper tiger right now. And the president's not going to be able to, I think, bring himself to criticize, you know, a fixture of corporate America, even though he should, because think about 143 million people who don't know, any of us, what's going on with our credit and whether we're going to have to get another Social Security number. I mean, we've had so many credit breaches, and between the Target breach, other major banks, it's really hard to imagine that all of our essential private information that could be used to get a phony credit card or a phony loan, you know, isn't in the hands of someone who can actually accomplish that. And yet there's no plan for the federal government other than we'll watch and monitor your credit. I mean, I think we have that's
in line with the Republican ideology of personal responsibility, right? You're on your own, basically. I mean, shouldn't the Federal Trade Commission, and you mentioned the Securities and Exchange Commission, there are agencies that are supposed to protect us from this. And from what I can tell, all the FTC has done is point people to Equifax's own website that they set up to show them, here's where you can find out if you were impacting, here's what you do. That's it.
Yeah, you can actually see the huge difference in the federal government's response during the Obama administration and Trump administration to an event like this. Because I do remember that after the Target breach and after other breaches during the Obama administration, there was really swift action from the Federal Trade Commission. It wasn't the SEC at the time, it was the Federal Trade Commission, and it was the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And we don't see anything. We hear crickets out of the federal government right now, other than the elected branch of Congress. We see many state attorneys generals, though, being really very critical of this and starting their own investigations. And then we have the value of the private bar and the fact that class action lawsuits are still viable. But this action, you got to understand, that Equifax took to get people who sign on to credit monitoring to waive into arbitration, mandatory arbitration, is a way of undermining those class action lawsuits. Because if you waive into arbitration, you cannot be part of a class action lawsuit, because class action lawsuits can't be accomplished in arbitration. So this company is doing every dirty trick in the book, including getting people away to sign away their right to class action lawsuits that could protect them from this breach as things unfold. So I think we do need the Senate to step up its game. We need the state attorneys generals to start filing state cases, and it's often the states that take the lead on this. But I don't know how the president and the federal government, the executive branch, can't have anything to say about something that's squarely in their corner, particularly when there's insider trading involved. The SEC should be all over this.
Yeah. And now, because there have been so many data breaches, we can expect more. And we should just sort of remember the number of things that can be done with someone having access to your full name, your birth date, your social security number, possibly your driver's license number. These are all the pieces of information that were compromised for about 140 million people. You can change passwords. You can call up banks and get access to accounts. A hacker can do so much damage with some basic pieces of information about individuals. We may not know. These hackers might be sitting on this information for months before they actually act on it. We may not know about the ripple effect and the full repercussions for a long time. So what would you recommend? Because we live in this digital world. What does Consumer Watchdog think needs to happen at the government protection level and at the corporate protection level to ensure data is not breached? We can take some steps ourselves, but it's really not our responsibility or our fault to make sure that these corporations don't misuse our data.
Well, fundamentally, our information should not be gathered and warehoused without our consent, yet it's done all the time.
Yep.
A ballot measure just filed in California actually would prevent that.
Really?
On the internet. And I don't know if it's going to go forward, but it is a great idea. We've thought about it too. We used to call it the do not tracking law. But we should have to give our consent before any company collects data on us, be it financial, be it even online data, because that data can be used in devastating ways. That's going to be a major shift from the way things are today, and it probably has going to have to bubble up at the state level. But to deal with the aftermath of this, people really need to start changing their passwords on all their accounts. I think credit freezing is something you can consider, but it does come at a financial cost. You got to routinely change your passwords. You do have to have credit monitoring services, especially when they're offered free of charge. You have to be on top of this. So if you go with Equifax's free credit monitoring, you're then going to have to also tell them that you don't want to waive into mandatory arbitration, that you want to preserve your legal rights and send them a separate letter. The other thing, though, is there's very good technologies that can prevent fraud. Apple, for instance, use two-factor verification. A lot of banks do this. Like, your bank is pretty well protected, because if you want to set up a new device or get into an account, they will not only ask you for your personal information, they will also send you a separate code to a device, separate device they know is attached with your account, and notify you of that. So some of the banks and people who, you know, have pretty big assets that they're watching for you, have technology that they can deploy to make it a lot safer. But not all the banks do, and not all the financial institutions do. And that's where the federal government really needs to step in and says, if anyone's holding assets for you, they have to have the latest safety and security features implemented, even if it's costly. And two-factor notifications, one of them. So there are ways to do this, but it costs money, and corporate America, of course, doesn't like to spend the money, and the government we have now, unfortunately, in Washington, doesn't want to tell them to, but that's what it's going to take.
And by the way, I should mention to our audience, if you want to find out if you've been impacted by the data breach, you can go to EquifaxSecurity2017.com and click on Enroll. We'll post a link on our website later today. Jamie, thanks as always for joining us. Give out Consumer Watchdog's website.
Yes, consumerwatchdog.org.
Thanks so much, and we'll link to that as well later today. My guest has been Jamie Court, president of Consumer Watchdog and author of The Progressive's Guide to Raising Hell. We've been discussing how Equifax has mishandled its massive data breach. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.